here in verses 14 and 15. I'll start off by reading those verses. It says this. This is a prayer request that the Apostle Paul has to this church. In fact, the verses that we read from Colossians chapter 1 were a prayer request that he had for the church at Colossae. So earlier in chapter 1, he prays for them for some things that he wanted to see happen and become maybe consolidated in their lives, substantiated in their lives, that they would become established in the things of the Lord. And now in chapter 3, it's another prayer request, and he's praying for the church. And so we see here in verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He's bowed his knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he wants to see in these believers, these believers that he had an opportunity to minister to through his missionary journeys. And we see here in verse 16, the first thing that needs to take place in our lives. There are some things that, there's some choices that we have to make, some decisions that we have to make in order for us to get to a point where God can show himself incredibly strong and that God can do some amazing things. We have to get to a point, but we have to allow him to get us to that point. And so we have to be willing to make these choices, to choose to do these things. And the first thing that we're going to see is that we need to choose to allow him to strengthen us. It is invaluable that we learn how to be strengthened by Christ, by the Spirit of God who lives inside of us on a regular basis. We need that, folks. Otherwise, we will just, spiritually speaking, we'll begin to wither up and die. You know, we're not going to die and go to hell, but I mean, our spiritual life will just wither away. It won't factor. It won't matter in people's lives. God won't be able to use it. So we have to allow God to be able to strengthen us. He wants to do that. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to do that work in us, and he wants to supply us with the strength that we need. So let's just take a look at verse 16. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that he would grant you. So the Lord is wanting to do this in every one of our lives. He wants to give you and I spiritual strength. That's why we can say in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We have that great promise that it comes in Christ. It comes because of what he's done. He gives us the strength that we need. But now we see Paul is led of the Spirit to say these particular words, that he would grant you, that he would grant you. To grant. What does that mean? To grant means to agree, to give, or allow, parentheses, something requested to. That God is, that word grant means to agree to give or allow to. Something that has been requested. The Lord is wanting to grant to us strength. He's wanting to give us this, but we must request it. It is something that we must ask for. He is wanting us as children to come to him who is a great father. And it says in James chapter 1 in verse 17, it says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights." Folks, he wants to give us strength each day. He wants to give us good things. Listen, he's put that within our hearts as dads. He's put that within our hearts as granddads and grandmas to do that for our grandkids. This morning, little Will, that's Nathan and Karen's little boy, and then they have little Sawyer, and they're just great. I just love seeing them. I love their little faces, And last night I brought out the remote control car, my remote control car, right? Got it all going. It took a long time. Finally got the batteries going, and Sawyer didn't know what to make of it, huh? He was like, "What is this little thing?" And then he started to warm up to it. And as I was running that thing around, and so this morning, and Will wasn't with us when we were doing that. He was with Ezra and Hannah. So this morning he's like, "What is this?" And I'm ready to come to church, and he's like, "Grandpa, I like this. I like this truck, and can you show me how it works?" And I'm like, "I need to come over to the church, but yeah, well, forget the church right now. I got my little grandson, right?" And it was just great spending time with him for a little bit and showing him how it, you know, went forward and went in reverse. And he's just, you know, it's not like he's never seen a remote control vehicle, but he was just having a great time. And it's like, kid, you could ask me for anything and I'll just give it to you, all right? Because that's how we're wired as grandparents, amen? Right? We just want to give them the whole thing. And God wants to give us good things. God wants to give us the things that we need in this life. He is so gracious and so kind. He gives us things, and I'll say this, sometimes he gives us things, maybe, you know, it said that he gave some things to Israel, and he brought leanness unto their souls, because they wanted something that they really shouldn't have had, and the Lord was trying to say, like through Samuel, they really don't need a king. They don't need a king, but they wanted it so bad, he says, give them a king. I just think God is so gracious. Now, you know, that thing ended up backfiring with Saul, the first king of Israel. But God is a gracious God, and he loves to give us things. And he wants to give us strength in our life. He wants us to be able to be prepared and ready for whatever it is that comes our way. And then we go on, and it says about this, it says that he would grant you, and it says according to the riches of his glory. According to the riches of his glory. We've been told over and over that as saints, as children of God, that we have an inheritance. It's all throughout this book. You see it really a lot in the epistles. Things that await us for sure when we get to heaven, a great inheritance. But as a merciful and kind God that I was just speaking about in the last point, he allows a good measure of that to come to us even now. He gives us those things. There are things that are awaiting us, but the Lord likes to give us a sneak preview. And he gives us some things that are going to await us, that are awaiting us in great measure. He loves for us to have those things now. And he wants us to have the things that he has provided over and over. And you know, as dads, sometimes it's hard for us to just keep a nice secret. My daughter always says, Dad, you have a hard time keeping a good secret. Well, you know, whenever we were going to go some, you know, great place on a vacation, whether it's Disneyland or somewhere else, you know, let's not tell them. Sharon and I would, let's not tell them right away. I'd end up telling them, you know. I just couldn't keep back. And, you know, the Lord is so good. He gives us some things. He gives us a sneak preview of things. We have an inheritance, but he gives us some of those things in advance. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. And let's never be unmindful of the fact that he's blessing us all along the way. We sang that hymn a little earlier, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. God pours out to us many things. Let's not let them go by unnoticed. And as we go along this life and the hustle and bustle, we can easily just pass by all of these blessings. It's good for us to stop and to take time and to be in this word and to pray and just to think about how the day went by the day before and what he did for us. You know, I really wanted to make sure that I just spent time and just got on my face before the Lord on this trip and just said, Lord, thank you. You know that we had a blowout there, and then the second time with the spare, all that tread came shooting off and we were behind them, and it's like, what just happened? Both times, you know, the travel trailer and the truck, there was some swerving going on, but Ezra, and you know, I'll give credit, he's a good driver, but it was the Lord that protected us. That thing could have easily have gone into the ditch, and we could have had some serious problems. And I just thank God. I just wanted to make sure, Lord, I want to just take notice that those things that you did, I want to just personally thank you for keeping us safe. Folks, it's just a good thing for us to be thankful. God in his mercy has done so many wonderful things for us. And it is just good for us to let him know that. Now as we continue to go on here in verse 16, that he gives us according to the riches of his glory. And then it says to be strengthened with might. To be strengthened with might. Listen, the Lord knows the battles that we are subjected to. We are in a spiritual battle. Brother Jason brought up the fact that we're soldiers for Christ, we have some spiritual foes that are against us, and if we are determined to be in this fight, then we are going to engage in battle against these spiritual adversaries, and the Lord knows that we need to be strengthened, and he wants to strengthen us with his might.
The devil's tactics, well, he has many, but one of the things that the devil would love to be able to do is to wear us down. He wants to wear us down, and in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, it says those very words. It says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." I think in this battle of attrition, he's hoping to wear us out. And you know, our best response to that is for us to stay close to the Lord, is to stay in this book and to read it daily. And as Brother Jason brought up again, he brought up so many great points, is, you know, we can do our Bible reading in such a way that it is just, we check off the box. I did my so many chapters, and then we go on. And instead of allowing God to speak to us from His Word, and as we allow God to speak to us through His Word, then that's when we're going to really, truly get something. We're going to be able to get something of substance that we can use when we've really met with God. And we've spent time in His Word, we've spent time in prayer, and God will be able to give us those things that we need. And the devil will continue to try. He'll just continue to try to wear us down. I'll tell you, this morning, it started last night, we had a great day. You know, we just got in, like I said, on Thursday, and my son Nathan and Karen come in with the boys yesterday, and we just had a blast. And we went out down in the later afternoon and into the evening downtown by the resort, and we ended up playing some pickleball. We played pickleball a little bit earlier in the afternoon. Here I'm a tennis ball player, or I'm a tennis player, right? Admitting that I played some pickleball. Okay, don't let that get out, right? No, but that was the first time I played pickleball. And we played a little bit in the afternoon, and my son and I have been talking about it for weeks. And then we played in the evening, and Ezra joined us, and then we had some friends of ours, the Espinosas, and they've been here before. They were here through the weekend, and they had to head back to Boise this morning. But pickleball just thrashed me, all right? And I just want to personally say, I just want to publicly acknowledge to pickleball players, I am so sorry for calling you sissies and pansies. I never said it out loud, but in my mind I thought, they're playing like on a little baby court. It's only 40 feet long and 20 feet wide, right? But that just wore me out like incredibly. So last night I was so tired, and I was not completely done with this message. So we got home and we've just visited. Everybody else went to bed. I'm like, why do you get to go to bed? And I was so tired that a little after 10, my wife said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go to sleep. But I'm going to put my alarm for like 11:15, like last night. Not this morning, right? 11:15. And I just needed a rest for about 45 minutes. And I had taken a shower, went ahead and slept for a little over an hour, got up at 11:15, and then I studied till about close to 1:30 before I went to bed. And I'll tell you, the Lord just, He gave me strength. He gave me strength. And I was just praising Him this morning, and I thought, I'm not going to have a whole lot of hours to sleep before this morning comes. And then I got up and showered again and came over here to the church after I had the little time with Will, of course, you know. And the Lord gave me some strength. And I just praised Him because I thought, oh, man, Lord, how am I going to get this all finished? And the Lord helped me to just put all the rest of this together. I mean, I might be laying an egg right now. I don't know. But the Lord just, He helped me, and He gave me strength. And, folks, we need to allow Him to give us that strength on a regular basis. He wants to strengthen us with all might. It says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how are we renewed? We're renewed when we walk with Christ. We're renewed when we get into that book and let it speak to us. We're renewed when we get on our knees before God, when we talk to Him through the day, when we thank Him for what He's done for us. When we acknowledge Him, He gives us strength. What a great thing that God gives to us. I want you to turn to Isaiah. This is a classic passage. Isaiah chapter 40. Rather than me just read these verses to you, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 28 through 31, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you probably know this verse. It's these verses. Verses 28 through 31 of Isaiah chapter 40 says this: Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? God doesn't faint, and he doesn't become weary, it says. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I don't care how much strength you have physically, you're going to hit a wall sooner or later. No matter how young you may be and how much energy you have, you're going to eventually come to the end of your strength. But it says here in verse 31, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I've seen too many brothers and sisters in Christ that they just got wearied in the battle, and they got away from God, and they no longer continued to go forward. And I think a big part of it was just not staying close to the Lord, and staying close to this book, and staying close to the Lord in prayer, and doing the right things. God calls us, commands us to be godly and to be holy people. Yes, we're sinners that have been saved by grace, and we have an old nature, and we're gonna sin. If we say that we have not sinned, it says that we're calling God a liar in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 10. But that doesn't give us an excuse to just go down that road. We ought to just want to stay away from sin as much as we possibly can, and just confess it to God right away. So let me just say this to you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. When you know that you've gotten away and done something wrong, get it right away. Don't let, time go by. Don't postpone something that you should take care of today. If there's somebody that you've offended, if there's somebody that you need to get your heart right with, if there's somebody that you need to seek to be reconciled to, do it immediately, because it's important for us to stay right with Christ, to walk in fellowship with him. Because otherwise, if we don't do that, we're not going to receive the Lord's strength as we ought to if we're not walking as we should. If we do the right thing, God will honor and bless that, and you'll find that you'll have strength for the battle each day. But as I said a few minutes ago, I've seen those that have gone out of the race, and any one of us can do that at any time. But folks, if we keep our eyes on him, God will strengthen us with all might. Maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you need to be infused with God's strength. And just get into that word and just humble yourself before God. And whatever it is that maybe has come between you and him, just get it right. And God will give you the strength that you need to be able to live for him, and to be able to do what he's called you to do. And it says that he'll do that, as he says here, that last part of verse 16, to be strengthened with might. How does he do it? By his Spirit in the inner man. That power comes to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. He is the Comforter. What a great thing that we have God dwelling in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's something that the Old Testament saints didn't have, because Christ hadn't come and given his life on the cross yet. We have God living inside of us. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. I think that that's just an amazing thing, that as I go, wherever I go in this life, I'm never alone. I have God right with me, and he's living right inside me, and I'm his temple. And it ought to make us very aware of how we live and what we think and the behavior that we engage in. We ought to be thinking about who is with us, and it is the Lord. He's living inside of us and dwells in us, and it is the Holy Spirit that gives strength to our inner man, as it says, to the new man, to that new nature, the one that is created in the image of Jesus Christ, as Ephesians chapter 4 tells us and Colossians tells us, that this new nature that was dead is now made alive in Jesus Christ, that he infuses that nature with strength. And that happens again, folks, as we as we choose to obey him, as we choose to do what's right, God will bless us, and he'll just give us strength. When there's times when you think, boy, I have no more strength to continue to go on, you just look unto the Lord, and he'll give you strength. And then you'll look back, and you'll go, Lord, that was you. I praise you, and thank you that you gave me strength when I felt like my strength was all gone. And folks, he loves to lift up those that are weary, and he wants to see you continue to go on for Jesus Christ. So I say that to somebody here today who maybe is struggling along and you're wondering with everything that has come your way and everything that has been thrown at you, and you wonder, how can I go another day? God will give you strength to go another day. And it'll be from day to day, and he will take care of you. It is so good that God wants to strengthen us, but we have to choose to allow him to strengthen us. That's what he wants to do. And then we'll look at a second thing. In the very first part of verse 17, the very first part says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Just that little short statement, but it's a big statement, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And the second thing is to choose to make a decision to walk by faith. We are commanded to walk by faith. Every child of God does not always walk by faith. How many times have we chosen not to walk by faith? All right? Listen, we are here in the physical, right? And we are sometimes so wired to lean on the physical about what things look like. I've certainly done that. I've looked at things and, wow, this looks like the best option here, and that doesn't look like a great option, and I'm going to go for that one without really praying about it, or maybe just putting a canned prayer before God that really wasn't from my heart. You ever done that before? Would somebody raise their hand so I don't feel so lonely? Okay, because I've done that, and I really didn't really seek God. I just determined that looked good, and I'm going to do it. It's kind of what Lot did when Abraham and Lot and their cattle was so much that they couldn't really, exist together. They had to separate themselves, and so Abraham says to Lot, you know, you choose where you want to go. And what was it? What did it say that Lot saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and so he pitched his tent over by Sodom. It looked beautiful. It ended up not being a good decision. It ended up not being a good decision for him because he just made the decision about what it looked like. And we know how that played out and that whole fiasco that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that. And folks, we are so tempted to want to just lean upon our own understanding. Isn't that what Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 tell us not to do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's so easy to just look and say, that just looks like the right decision to make, and I'm going to make that decision. And folks, it ends up being to our demise in a spiritual way. But folks, we are so prone to do that. Let's make sure that we don't make our decisions on how things look. So now, this verse, as Paul's prayer for these believers, is that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know, again, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. But Christ also wants to dwell in our hearts by faith as well. That's what this is saying here. You know, is Christ in you, the hope of glory? You say, well, is that wrong to say Christ is in me? No, I mean, God's God. We can't. Trying to figure out God and this triune God, the Trinity, and trying to, Christ really can't be in your heart technically. If Christ says he can be in your heart, he can be in your heart, folks. He's God. Now, we know we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ in his person is at the right hand of the Father up in heaven, right? But it says right here that Christ wants to dwell in our hearts by faith. That's the prayer request that Paul was praying for these Ephesian believers. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is wanting to come down from the right hand of the Father, and he wants to dwell in our hearts by faith, that Christ would be abiding in us. Now, I think a great passage for this is John chapter 15, and I'm going to read some verses from there. So let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is just great passage of scripture that the Lord gives to the disciples up in the upper room. Let me just say this, as Christ is wanting to dwell in our hearts by faith, it's one thing to text or to talk to somebody on a phone, and we've done that with Ezra and Hannah before these last week and a half since we've been together, and I certainly did that with Nathan, and now I get to have Nathan and Karen here, but we've had that back and forth through texting and through phone calls. But to have them alongside you now, as they have been with us, these Ezra and Hannah, for the last 9 or 10 days, and then Nathan and Karen, having them alongside of us and having the interaction that we had like yesterday and, of course, this morning, that's a whole different ball game, right? Wouldn't you say that? I mean, it's one thing when it's great that with the technology that we can, you know, FaceTime and we can talk and we can text and we can do all of those things. But when they're right there with you, it doesn't even compare. And that's a little bit of what we're looking at right here. In John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. This abiding is a close, intimate relationship that he's talking about that we can have with Christ. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we will abide with Christ, it's just a simple trust and walking with him each day. It's confiding in him. It is having a confidence in what he wants to do in our lives. And you know what it'll do, folks? It'll open a huge door. It'll take us from sending text and making those phone calls and emailing and whatever else we may do, and it puts the person right there alongside you. And that's what Christ wants to do. He wants to be right there. I know I've said that to some Christians through the years, and they look at you like, you just came from Mars or something. They don't understand that. But folks, there is this relationship that we can have with Christ where it's very, very close and intimate, and the Lord's right there. You know, just Friday, as I mentioned earlier with our prayer meeting, I mean, I just had a great sense that the Lord was right in our midst. And that just puts you on hallowed ground, and it just humbles you. And I sense that with all the men that prayed, because the Lord was there in a unique way, and he spoke to our hearts. Didn't he, Brother Park? He spoke to our hearts, and just he just brought us together, and we just felt so humbled before the Lord. It was just tremendous. But let me just say this. That's what we can have each day when we seek his face, when we call upon him. Christ can be so real to you and I. As you read his word, you just sense the Spirit of God right there speaking to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ right there, comforting, giving strength. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If we'll search for the Lord with all of our heart, we might just realize the Lord's here now. He's right here. And folks, if that's been missing, then that's what you and I need. We need to have that walk with Christ where he is right there. And then we think of what Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says in regard to faith. It says that, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you and I diligently seek Christ through his word, and again through prayer, and as we just go about through the day, and if we just find ourselves just leaning unto him, Lord, help me. Help me with these decisions that I have to make. Help me with this meeting that I'm about to have. Help me with the job day that's ahead of me, these next 8 or 10 or 12 hours. I want you to be right close to me. And I want to rely on you, and I want your strength, and I want your wisdom. And you know the Lord will give it to us if we seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we're to walk by faith. And so, folks, that is a decision that we can make. It says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And so if we choose to walk by faith and say, Lord, I just trust you. You know, I see again with little Sawyer and Will, William, I just see little guys that just trust mom and dad. They're at that age. They just trust. You know, if something's a little scary, where do they go? They want to run to mama. They want to run to Karen, or they'll run to dad because they trust. And we need to be like little children that just trust God. That's why we're to be little children in that manner. And may we do that. Let us choose to walk by faith. And then we'll go on to this last point of making a decision to choose. And this last point is to choose to let Christ reveal his love to you and I. To let him reveal his love for you and I. We get back here to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I believe as we dwell on the love that Christ has for us, that it will begin to change us. It'll begin to transform us. And then it will produce in us more love for Christ. That's where it all starts. If we'll let God show his love for us and the love that he has to us, because sometimes I don't think that we allow that as much as we might think that we do. But if we'll allow him to show how much he loves us, and then it'll produce more love for us, more love in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here that ye being rooted and grounded in love, at the end of verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And as we do this more and more, as we spend time with him, that's why it's important, folks, that we do spend time with him. Get up in the mornings a little bit earlier. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Enough time that you're allowing God to speak to your heart. And that you're allowing time for things to unfold. It's just good to have a conversation with God. It's just good to talk to him. He's our Father. Now, we're never to be irreverent with God. I understand that. And he's not our palsy-welsy, you know. He's our Father. But yet, he's our friend. And we can open up to him. And we can say, Father, you know, we talk to God, oh, God, you know what's going on in my heart. You know the things that I'm struggling with. You know the battles that I seem to be losing over and over. And just a good conversation, just opening up with God. Those are healthy things that we can just bring out to God. And just, he wants us to be just honest before him. And may we just not make it a canned prayer throughout. Have you ever done that? You know, people come to your door and, you know, they give you the whole spiel about what they're trying to sell. And it's like, this guy has, like, said this 1,000 times, all right? And it's just like, wow, it just came out of, like, a tape recorder, all right? Well, we can do the same thing with God. And we get on our knees and we just say the same thing. And our heart's not in it. You been there? I've been there. But if we would just stop ourselves and just say, Lord, forgive me for being repetitious with you. I just want to be real and honest with you. And you know my heart. You know everything about me. You know my foolishness. As Solomon said, you know my downsittings and my uprising. You know everything about me. I just want to be open before you. And I just want to be able to just be an open door. And God will bless that. If we'll do that, folks. And as we do that more and more, you know that our hearts will grow deeper and deeper in love with him. It'll just be strengthening time, day in, day out. Don't ever get mechanical about it. Don't ever let it become routine, but make sure that it is part of your routine. Amen? Folks, we do that, we'll begin to just start thinking about him more and more. And because I believe he says to us, like he said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, we want to claim that we love God so much, but maybe our love for him is still way down here. Maybe there's some things that really, you know, like Ezra and I were talking about the other day, something that gives you the fizz, you know? You can relate to what that's saying, right? Something that really gets you all amped up. Something that really, you know, floats your boat. And there are things that do that. And sometimes those things exceed the things of God, don't they? Oh, there are things that get me excited. Like I told you, as a kid, anything that bounced or rolled, I just love it. And, I mean, you know, we were at Shields sporting goods store in, what city was that in? That was in South Dakota somewhere? Rapid City. Okay, Rapid City. And we went to the Shields, and they have all kinds, I'm telling you, like, I mean, next to food. No, maybe it even exceeds food. I mean, just going in a sporting goods store. I was talking to Nathan yesterday. We just love going in sporting goods stores, right? I just love to see. It's like, wow. I can't get enough of just watching a basketball, even on a shelf. I mean, you know, I just can't. And I've told you before this, and I could watch on a video the slow motion football spiraling through the air. I could probably watch it for 30 minutes. I've probably got some issues, I know that. But I just like, that is poetry in motion, just watching that ball, that football just spiral as it's heading to the receiver, and then you watch the receiver catch it, tiptoe in the corner of the end zone. It's like, I've died and gone to heaven. I'm just being honest with you. There are some things that I get excited about. And maybe for some guys here, it's hunting and fishing or whatever it might be. And you ladies, you know, quilting. I can't get into quilting. I'm sorry. But I know some ladies, it's like, it's all about quilting. And a quilting show? I can't even see it. But it happens, all right? Listen, there are things that you love. There are things that I love. But do they just overshadow the things of God? You know, I've got to be honest. There are many times when my love for other things just overshadowed the things of God. I don't want it to be that way. And I come before the Lord and I say, Lord, you know my heart. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in this or that. And like in that Shields, they had these little tiny bowling lanes. And I'm like, wow. I won't even get into that one. It just blew me away. But there are things that just should not be. We ought to think about our love for Christ. And so we're told here in verse 18 now, as we look at this, it says about that we're to be rooted and grounded in love, but it says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. We're told that we can be given a comprehension. I don't know to what degree, because this is so out there, but God is able to package it up in a way that we can understand it, because it tells us that we could comprehend. How really could you? It's just it's an incredible thing, because it says in the very next verse, which passeth knowledge, the love of Christ for us is so immeasurable. It is incredible. Yeah, and this immensity of Christ's love for us to be able to try to contain it, to get our hands on it, is just unthinkable. But God says that He can help us a bit to get a grasp on that, that we can begin to understand this breadth and depth and length and height of what God's given to us. You know, it was just 5 days ago on Tuesday we rolled into Sundance, Wyoming. Wasn't that Sundance? And we stayed in the RV park all together. And we got all settled in and, you know, did a few things. And then we sat down and played some Phase 10, which I won. I won, just want to let you know. I'm trying to give you all the details so you can see it all happening. And I won earlier on the trip. I just seem to be a natural. I'm thinking of going professional, but I don't think there is a professional tour out there. But no, we were playing Phase 10. We got that all done, and then we ended up going to the bathroom facilities. You're like, really? Well, they were like Taj Mahal bathroom facilities in this RV park. And my daughter and son-in-law come over, and they said, Dad, you got to check out the bathroom. I don't have to go. You just got to check out this bathroom. Really? And I went over, and I went, wow, That is quite the bathroom. I mean, when you get wowed by an RV park bathroom facility, they've done a good job of it, okay? And it was just, it was great. And then on the way back, my wife, I mean, here we are, we're all carnally minded. My wife is spiritual. I mean, she's looking up and she says, look at the stars. And we went, oh, yeah, and we made some jokes, but when it really, I tell you what, I don't know that I've ever seen a sky of stars like that. I mean, we saw every constellation that you could see, but we didn't just see all the stars that we normally see. You could see thousands. I mean, you could see a like a little bit of a white cloud over different constellations, and it just made me think about the immensity of God. I just think of how great God is. You know, in His Word, after He made all creation, it says, "And He made the stars also." He just made the stars. We haven't even been able to number the stars, but He made the stars also. And that night, we looked, and we were just, it was almost like you could reach out and grab those constellations. The Big Dipper, it was just amazing. And I think about how good and how gracious God is to us. He allows us to be able to get our hands a bit on this, that He will help us to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and height of what He's given to us in Christ, this immensity of Christ's love for us. And then we take a look, as it says here in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which goes right with that, to know the love of Christ, that God would help us to be able to see this immensity of His love for us. And we take a look at that last part, which passeth knowledge, that I referred to just a little bit ago. It is truly beyond us, but the Lord can reveal it again to you and I as He gets, as it gets, so it just gets a hold of us, folks, and it changes us. If we choose to embrace these things, if we choose to embrace these things that that verses 16, 17, 18, and 19 give to us, then verse 20 that I'll bring out next week will be something that God will be able to show back to us, but He's trying to get us to a particular place in our lives. And verse 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You see, the sky is the limit with what God wants to do. And we are living at a time right now when we're seeing a whole lot of disarray. We're seeing a whole lot of unrest. And that's putting it mildly. Our country has been fractured and divided in so many ways. Amen? I mean, that's just the truth of it. And it's a sad thing to see. But you know the answer to all of this is we've got a God in heaven who is still on the throne. And He is as great as He ever was. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save us, right? Nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear us. He's a great God. And I believe He's just looking for some people that will walk by faith. I believe He's looking for some people that will just learn to just walk in such a manner that we begin to love the Lord, maybe at a level that we've never loved Him before, because we're allowing Him to show His love to us. And as we allow that to happen, and as we begin to just believe, God, You can do all things. And yes, it looks a certain way, and this thing looks like a terribly slippery slope right now. And probably in a lot of ways it is. But this is when God works best, and He works through His people. And many times, His people, and I'm speaking about myself, we handcuff, we hamstring God. We don't allow Him to do what He wants to, but He wants to show us that the sky is the limit. And He says that if we will become these things, and we will embrace these things and choose these things, this allowing Christ to show His love for us, allowing us to let Him strengthen us. And then that second point that I brought out, that we would learn to just simply walk by faith and just trust Him. Then He will put us in a position where He says, now watch what I can do. And I believe God wants to do a whole lot here. I believe that the Lord could come at any time, and I believe He's coming soon. But I believe He's got a job for us to do. And may we just hold our heads up high. May we realize there's people about us that need Christ. May we be witnesses. May we just live for Christ and serve Him with all of our heart. And then just watch what he can do. People that we can see get saved. I believe that God can bring forth a revival. Maybe not like in the days past. I'm not gonna hamstring God. Yes, he can do it like he's always done. But let's not just say, oh no, we're living in a time when it's just in a time of apostasy, it's not gonna happen. No, I believe it can happen to some degree. I believe it could happen here in Coeur d'Alene and Hayden and the cities around us, amen? If we'll just simply look to the Lord and just trust him. Because he wants to show us how, as verse 20 again says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'll go there next week, because God says, you can't even think as much as you can imagine the things I can do for you if you'll allow me to do it. And may we as a church just allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives. May we just learn to get out of his way. Amen? Now today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I'm diverting for just a moment. I've spoken to Christians, to those of us who've trusted Christ as our Savior. You may be here today without Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Jesus Christ died for our sins. The Bible says that we've all fallen short. That there's not a one of us who can say that we haven't sinned. And folks, we're sinners, and Christ died for us on the cross. He was buried and rose again, and he wants to give you eternal life if you're here today without Christ. And I just want to urge you to trust Christ as your Savior if you're lost. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And this is a good opportunity to step out in the aisle, come forward. We'd have somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved. You know, that was the greatest day in my life over 43 years ago when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And so many of you are nodding your head. That was the greatest day, wasn't it? That we were saved and given eternal life. And you can have that as well if you're here without Christ. But for us as
Christians, let's understand that the sky's the limit. Amen? And let's not limit the Holy One of Israel as the Jews did when you read in Psalm 78. We don't want to limit him. Let him do in our lives what he wants to do. With that, let's bow our heads. We'll go before him in a word of prayer in just a moment. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed,